A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 2, 1994, in the series The First Testament, entitled Why Not Ishmael? Election, Exclusive or Inclusive? The scripture readings are Genesis 16, verses 1 through 12, and chapter 21, verses 8 through 14. The text for the sermon is Genesis 17, verse 18. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Well, I want you to know, I wouldn't tell you on the way in, because I wanted you to get in here. But I want to tell you before you get out, that clock's 5 minutes fast. I'm thinking about changing it about mid-service. Well, just relax. I'm going to do as usual. I'm going to compress about 10 minutes worth of thought into 20 minutes, so we'll be all right. We continue today in our attempt to get an overview of the biblical story. Last week in beginning, we took those first 11 chapters, and those first 11 chapters are the faith expression of a believing community, Israel, as they sought to understand themselves over against the whole cosmos and the whole human race and the whole sweep of human history. And as they sought to understand and make sense out of the nature of human experience, why the brokenness, the pain, the tragedy, the alienation. And as they reflected on these things and gave expression to their faith, they told stories. And the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis is like a kind of introduction to Israel's understanding of itself, of God, of the world, of history. And we looked at that last week and saw how repeatedly the human person, the human creature, chooses wrongly. There is the continual self-assertion. There is the seeking of human autonomy. There is, in the final climactic story, the Tower of Babel in the 11th chapter, there is the building of this tower, which is really the attempt to build the secular city without reference to God. The Hebrew people were saying that the bottom line is that the human family will never make it, that they will continue to choose wrongly, and that if God's purposes will be realized, if the intentions of the Creator will be fulfilled, then God will have to do it God's self. Then it will have to be all of gift, pure grace. There is no possibility, no human possibility. And that is brought out beautifully, wonderfully, in the image of Sarah's barren womb. Genesis 11:30. Abraham, who is a part of the culture, a part of the human family, is separated out. And we're told that his wife Sarah is barren. And in that, we are set up. We are set up by the biblical writer for a new creation as a statement of the fact that Israel is a creation of grace, that this special people is a people that comes from God, that human potential is lacking. Human possibility doesn't exist, but out of a barren womb, God will raise a people. And as we move to Genesis chapter 12, we have from 12 to 50, the rest of the book, what we call patriarchal history. It is like the prehistory of Israel, the nation, that was born in that Exodus event, the founding event, the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. That's what comprises the last part of that, the last two-thirds of that book of Genesis. Chapter 12, Abraham is chosen. Abraham and Sarah are called out of the mass of humanity to begin now a special project in which God will take the initiative. We speak of this choice. To speak out of our own theological tradition, we speak of this choice as an election of grace. A choice of God for no good reason that we can figure out, except that God graciously chooses this one to come out, this couple to come out, out of whom will come a special people. And this special people are an elect nation, a chosen nation, who are to bring light and truth to the nations. Now, growing up in the Reformed tradition as I have, election to me was always synonymous with salvation, as though God chose some to be redeemed, to be saved, to be God's special children. I didn't understand what I now see everywhere, and that is that that choice, that election, was not to special privilege, that is to salvation, but it was to special service, special responsibility. For in blessing Abraham, it was in order that the seed of Abraham would be a blessing to all nations. The universality was always there in God's move to particularity. God chose the one, not to the exclusion of the rest, but on behalf of the rest, in order that the whole world and the whole human family might have in its presence the light and the truth. The very existence of this special people was to be the concretization of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdoms of this world, that there might always be the witness to God the Creator, full of grace. Well, that choice of Abraham and Sarah, that election of this couple from whom would come this people, that choice continued in the story that Israel told. And the next generation was the choice of Isaac over Ishmael. You remember the story. I related it a moment ago, and we read some of the passages. In May of this year, on Mother's Day, I used this passage as what I think was a legitimate use for the celebration of the family, suggesting that the choices, the attitudes that with which we shape our children have tremendous implications in future generations. That if it might have been possible for Sarah to have it within her heart to embrace Hagar, if Sarah might have looked at Ishmael and Isaac playing together and not have been moved to jealousy, to a competitive spirit, to an exclusionary spirit, if Sarah might have said to Abraham, "Bless your son Ishmael and bless your son Isaac," that we might not in 1994 be struggling with the conflict and the tensions that continue to plague the Middle East. Well, I was delighted to come upon later an article by Rabbi David Hartman, whom I have mentioned here a number of times, who has impacted my thinking greatly. He was in Muskegon at the Dialogue in April with Martin Marty. And in this paper, he was addressing the present peace process in Jerusalem, in Israel. And as an Orthodox rabbi, it is rather paradoxical that an Orthodox Jewish rabbi would plead for a peaceful continuation of this process so that Israeli and Palestinian might dwell together. And I was delighted to see that Rabbi Hartman went back to this story, suggesting that Ishmael and Isaac, if they could not then, must at least now dwell together and to find a common home. And then, just recently, I came into another piece from Rabbi Hartman. This was an interview on The Voice of America, and they were interviewing him again about what's going on in Israel today and about the peace process. And in this interview, he says, in the course of it, the biblical story is throughout informed by the principle that only one child inherits. the theme of the chosen versus the rejected recurs repeatedly throughout the Bible. One son gets the blessing, while the other gets none. This motif still reverberates in the minds of those claiming to have inherited the biblical tradition. The logic of religious faith is either or. Either you are blessed or you are rejected. The story that created the promise of Jerusalem also created the curse of the eternal battle over Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say, I believe that our role as Jews today is to change this aspect of the story. We began the story, and now we have come back to say that our story has another part to it, which states that God listens to many different songs and melodies. No single melody need drown out the others. This is my dream and my hope for Jerusalem. And then a bit further on in the interview, he says, well, the question is, now you're just another preacher. You talk about pie in the sky and all these spiritual ideals, but the politicians have to actually draw the maps. But David Hartman responds, I understand that, and I do not underestimate the difficulty of their task. Nevertheless, I feel that I have to speak out as a Jew and as a philosopher who loves this city and celebrates our return, but who does not regard the abuse of Arabs and Christians as part of this celebration. I want to listen to the music of Islam, and I want to hear the sound of Christian church bells in my city, because I believe that the Jewish people's return to Jerusalem has enormous historical implications for the future of pluralism, for the future healing of the ugly notion of holy wars. My friends, that is an image for today. If Sarah's barren womb is a vivid image of human impossibility, then let David Hartman's image of the songs of Islam and the pealing of Christian church bells, together with the Jewish song, be an image for our prayers and our hopes for Jerusalem, city of peace, and for the world. There is probably nothing more critical for human well-being and the state of the world in our day than the things we've been talking about this weekend. The historical religions, the religions of the book, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, simply must learn that they worship one God and that they are called by that one God to live in their particularity, but embracing a worldwide community. We have long enough taken the original Jewish story of the blessing of one and the rejection of the other. It is time to rewrite the story. If there was a time when it was historically necessary to choose the one over the other, even the story itself says that that choice at that time was in order ultimately that there be no rejected son. That time has come. That time has dawned upon our world. It is time for us to begin not only to pray, but begin to work actively for the tearing down of all barriers that separate humankind. And there is no more critical place to begin than in the coming together of these three great faiths. Judaism, the womb. Christianity through Jesus, the flower. And Islam, simply a continuing expansion of that worship and adoration of the one God. Bill Baker spent some time at the Crystal Cathedral. And at one of the first Churches Uniting for Global Mission meetings, you may remember my telling you that I was asked to preach at that gathering. We were up in the Tower of Hope, overlooking Southern California. And there was a little Oriental girl, beautiful little girl, with a lovely voice. She didn't know it, but there was a pastor out there who was the pastor of Nancy, what's that country singer's name? Huh? Winona Judd. Winona Judd's pastor was sitting out there. This little Oriental girl who was singing didn't know it. But she sang Winona Judd's song, "Love Can Build a Bridge Between You and Me." Isn't it time? Isn't it time? It's time.